This is Caitlin DeSilvey and Miney Smith on October 1st, 2007, at the home of Michael Nelson and Linda Nelson in East Missoula, doing a recording for the University of Montana Archives. And we're going to begin by asking you let's just alternate here. What are your names and when and where you were born?
I go by Mike Nelson. I was born in Missoula, of course, lived all my life in Milltown. And this is my wife, Linda. She was her folks were the founders of Missoula.
Great-grandfather.
Well, that's what I mean anyway. And we've been married for 41 years.
Okay, so Linda, when and where were you born? What was your maiden name?
My maiden name was Schultz, and I was born in Orfino, Idaho. I've lived in Missoula since 1950.
But go on and say who your great-grandfather
was. Oh, my great-grandfather was Frank Worden, who was one of the co-founders of Missoula with Captain Higgins. So my family's been here forever.
So that answers how long he lives in Missoula, Milltown Bonner. And so did your family live here, or did you move?
No, I was born in Milltown. Both my parents, my dad was the first one born out of 11 children in the United States. He had five brothers and sisters that were born in Norway, and he was the first born here. And my mother was born in Milltown.
What was your mother's maiden name?
Carlson.
Okay, so she would have been first generation Milltown.
Right.
Can we ask some questions about his mom's family, just to kind of fill that in? Yeah, so what was the story of how her family ended up?
They were Swedish immigrants. They came, I would say in 1905, I would believe. My mother was born in 16, and they were mill people that worked at the mill. And they were actually raised what we called a duck bridge. My mother was, you remember hearing about the duck bridge up there? Of course, mm-hmm. The freeway went through and took their house out. So, and my dad was raised in Milltown for most of his life.
And his family moved there when he was a small boy then?
When he was just born, 1906.
Oh, okay.
The oldest daughter was born in 1900, that'd be the oldest sister, and she went to the first grade school before there was ever a Bonner school. The Bonner school was up at the very end of Bonner, maybe you're aware of that.
Mm-hmm.
And that school, I think, was only in existence for about 6 years, 7 years, and then they built the Bonner school.
Okay, so when your dad's family came over, they came straight here then?
They
had all these kids, and then they came over here, and they had their last child, and that was your dad?
No, he was in the middle.
Oh, okay.
And then had five after that.
I see.
Yeah.
And did your granddad work
at the mill?
At the mill as well?
Yeah.
Okay.
And your granddad's name was Nelson?
Nelson. Lars Nelson.
But did he work at the mill too?
He worked at the mill too. Mm-hmm. He also worked on the Milwaukee Railroad at different times too.
So when you were born, was your dad working at the mill?
He was. He spent 40-some years there.
What work did he do there?
He was a blacksmith, welder.
This was the Anaconda
mill? Mm-hmm, Anaconda.
Okay.
Did you ever move out?
Never did. My mother and dad finally kicked me out at 22 years old so I could get married. I didn't want to leave home.
We didn't go very far.
So this little house, let's talk about where your house was.
Well, it's across from Harold's. It's actually across from the old Hama boarding house, which is, most everybody would know where that is if they were acquainted with this area. When I was a kid, these houses extended out here where the freeway is, mm-hmm. all of them. You know, that took that out. I had a paper route from 1953 to 63, and I knew everybody in Milltown, everybody. I mean, I knew who their folks were. There were four nationalities. There were Swede, Norwegian, Finnish, and French. And I knew everybody who was related to everybody, who was running with everybody. I mean, it was a neat place to grow up. You knew everybody. You know, and you didn't dare talk about anybody either because they were intermarried all the way along. You know?
Right. Pretty short grapevine, too, for the word to get around town.
Yeah.
So how many kids were in your family that lived in that little house?
Five at one time. Five children.
Mm-hmm. And you lived there until you were 22?
Yeah, I did. Okay. And we still own the house.
And is it rented now? Or?
To my son.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So it's still in the family. Wow.
Right. And then I also own the house next door to it. We rent that one out. I didn't want to let my roots get too far away.
Yeah.
You know, so we kept it.
So when you moved out when you were 22, did you move up here or did you move somewhere else?
No, we were... Well, I can show you another house we lived in. This house right over here, it was the old Sear boarding house.
Oh,
we lived
okay.
there a year when we were first married. And then we lived, you know where the copper shop apartments used to be many years ago?
It's
you know where the old chateau?
It's mm-hmm. this side of the post
yeah.
office.
We lived there for a year, and then we lived in Pillsville for a year, and then we moved here.
Oh, wow. Okay, so when did you build this house then?
Oh, gosh, 72, I think we moved in here.
Right.
Yeah.
And a little quick story on this house. Linda and I moved it up here all by ourselves. We paid $150 for it. But, of course, we've added on about three times since.
But the house in Milltown that you own, you own the land underneath it?
We do now. At one time, Stimson owned it. I think with all this pollution supposedly under, they didn't want to take the responsibility of it. So they just did here 2 years ago sell us the land in Milltown. We own the houses, but right. they own the land, and we paid a rent on the lease.
So all the houses now in Milltown are private, the ground is privately
right.
owned? That,
except I...
Up by the store, maybe.
I think the store and maybe the very end house belongs to Washington Corp, the railroad.
Uh-huh.
I think there's two houses here, and the store is still on railroad land.
So when you were a kid, what were your landmarks in Milltown? Where were like businesses that you used to go to?
Oh, okay. The businesses, of course, the store was always there. And when I was a kid, the main road went across the old Black Bridge.
Okay.
You know, and there, this thing here was called the Missoula County Library. It sat over here.
Oh, okay.
And there was a Smith Texaco station here. Well, when the road went through here, they didn't have room, so they moved the library over here.
This is 200 that you're talking about
right,
doing?
Right,
just for the tape.
They moved that over here. And this store faced the other way, you know, the store there. Now it faces sideways.
Oh, its front was on...
On the back.
On the old road. Okay.
And then when I was a kid, the front was on this side.
When did they put 200 through?
53.
Okay.
Because I remember when I was a little kid... At that house, it was just before the 4th of July, and I had to be about 6 years old, and you know those little lady fingers? You know, you pop, and I was popping them in the backyard, and I heard this car boom, and my dad was there. And when they were building this bridge on 200 here, they had a crane setting on it, and it fell through the deck, and a man was killed.
Oh.
You know, so I know it was 1953.
That's how you locate the memory, yeah.
Right.
That's good. So what about this row here? What was businesses were in?
Let me think. There was no businesses here.
We're looking at
where I lived.
Yeah.
Yeah, these are just residential things here. There wasn't a bar up here before my time. There were about six bars in Milltown at one time. And when I was there, there were two. This was the Midway Bar across behind the store. And the boarding house was next door, and this is where the post office was for many, many years.
And that's just across from the current store.
Mm-hmm. Across from the current store. And the barber shop was
down here.
Right mm-hmm. there. That was the barber shop. This was a gas station at one time, and you went across the old bridge. And
okay. This is just one block up east of the old bridge. There was mm-hmm. a gas station.
Right.
Wasn't there a grocery store where Pyatt's lived?
Yeah, and this was called Reardon's. Grocery store. We tried to hold them up when we were kids.
Yeah.
Really did.
How successful was that?
It wasn't. There was a Dufresne kid that lived right here, and I can remember we put on a big old coat and a hat when we were going to go rob him, and I fell off his shoulders. You know, I think he was six and I was five. I mean, some dumb things you do as your kid when you're a kid, you know.
So was this still a boarding house when you were a kid?
Just getting over it being a boarding house.
What was that history? Was that just single mill workers used to live there?
Yeah, or? Right. It was the old Hanna boarding house.
Is that the one that has the signboard up on
it?
The
is. It
okay.
is.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That'll locate that for anybody who
yeah, anybody
is listening who knows Milltown right now.
Right.
It's the house that's closest to the highway right. as you're going over the bridge.
And the religious sign
on the right
end of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And let me think of any other businesses that were in there. I think that's about it. They were all right along the old 200 coming across the old Black Bridge, which, and this was actually, there was a bridge here, but this was electric streetcar.
And that was the streetcar bridge that went.
Yeah,
okay.
They went, you know, they took that out and then put the newer one in here. But the streetcar went this way and up to Bonner.
Was that operating when you were a kid?
No, I think it went down in 36 maybe or 37.
Could you walk over that old streetcar bridge?
Oh, yeah.
All right, that sounds like the kind of thing a kid would like to do.
Yeah.
Jump off it.
Yeah, that same Dufresne kid and I were doing some fire crash. We lit the whole thing on fire one time when we were kids. Oh, folks were mad at us. You know, you light things in dry grass and away it goes,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah. So what's the biggest change that you've seen in the last 50 years?
Probably the freeway going through, mm-hmm. where they took, I think, 21 houses out of here. Mm-hmm. And some of those houses are still scattered around. You know, they moved them in different locations, you know. But in the Milltown area, that had to be the biggest thing that happened.
Okay. And were people, I mean, the people whose houses were moved or removed, mm-hmm. where did they leave Milltown? Or did
they stayed in the community, most of them. You know, and some of them moved them, you know, where Griles lived down in that area. Some of them are there. Some of them went to Clinton. My aunt and uncle bought some of them up in Pillsville and leased them out. You know, if we had time, I could tell you where every one of them went.
You really
if they
still
didn't
remember?
Tear them down. Oh, yeah, yeah. Because yeah. that was in, they didn't move those until the 60s. Probably from 64 to 65 is when that part of Milltown went out.
Yeah. Do you remember when people heard the interstate was going to come through, how people felt about that? Or?
Well, they really didn't have any choice. I mean, they didn't feel good about it. Because
yeah.
there were some nice homes on the end of this. But being on leased land, I mean, the land was, at that time, Anaconda Company owned them, and they didn't have any choice, you know. But them, and the highway did pay them for their house, but, you know, of course, they didn't own the land.
Mm-hmm. Did it change the way that people use the river? Being cut off from...
Oh, yeah, for sure it did, because there used to be channels down in here, right? You know, starting about here, they called them the first channel, second channel, and third. And when we were kids, we used to ice skate down there. And coming off of this, where are we? This road right here.
This is the road across from the...
Herald's Club. Going in
yeah,
front.
Past Herald's Club.
And there used to be a hill called McCormick Hill, which there was a ranch down here many years ago before the dam was put in. And they call it McCormick Hill. And we used to sleigh ride down that hill. And then we'd skate on the channels when it first froze, you know, and then we'd move to the main river. And we could skate all the way from Bonner Mill to the Duck Bridge, I mean, which is several miles around there.
Wow.
Know? It did really change the way we used the river. Then we kind of went up here somewhat, or went up above Bonner and did our swimming up there at that time.
Up in the Blackfoot area
yeah.
rather than the Clark
yeah.
Fork. Were you calling it the Clark Fork at that point, or was it?
We were calling it the Hellgate.
Okay.
You know.
When did that switch?
Well, it was always a Hellgate where it met the Blackfoot, and then they called it the Clark's Fork going from there down.
Oh.
But it was always the Hellgate River. Up the Hellgate and now.
Until it got to the dam there?
Yeah, where yeah. it got to the dam, where the two met, then it was called
and
the Clark Fork.
That's where it changed. Do you remember when people stopped calling it Hellgate?
Mm-hmm. Well, if you're any of the old timers, still call it
they
that.
They still call
you know,
it, yeah, but it's just on the maps, you know, don't
yeah,
see that anymore.
Not anymore.
So was it also called the Missoula River?
I don't remember. Maybe downtown it was.
Not Milltown.
Not Milltown. We didn't associate with those people downriver.
So did you go to the Bonner School then?
Yeah, I did.
Okay, all the way through to...
All the way through.
And then high school...
There was just Missoula County High when I went. There was just one school.
And you bused to Missoula?
We were bused.
Okay.
Yeah. At that same time, Seeley Lake was still sending their students into Missoula. And that was supposedly the earliest route for kids to get up in the United States. You know, they had to get up at 4 o'clock to hit the bus
to get the
longest, yeah.
Oh, wow. So, let's see, in the 60s, were you living in Milltown when the interstate went through?
Mm-hmm. Just at the tail end of it.
Okay.
I don't know if I was gone before it was finished, but it was being built, you know, in the early 60s.
Lived in the copper shop apartments.
Well, that was another section. That, you know, the whole thing wasn't done. Where the old chateau was there when we were first married, that was the first place we lived, and they were just building on this side of the Blackfoot River at that time, mm-hmm. in 66.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay, so it took, what, 5 years to build it?
Yeah, I think pretty close, maybe from 63 to 66, at least 3 years.
Yeah.
Because it came in different, you know, they do a section and then another section. And
yeah. So has the appearance of the houses in the Milltown area changed since you were a kid?
Yeah.
What was it like?
Well, I'll tell you, it was a lot nicer, a lot better when I was a kid. Everybody had white picket fences, kept their yards up. And I'm one to blame here, too. You know, a lot of junk in Milltown anymore. I mean, people have not taken care of the... Some of them have, but a lot of them are in shambles, you know.
Why do you think that is?
Oh, I don't... People don't stay there, you know. They come in, they move, and the property values have actually come up. When Linda and I got married, I'll point a house out to you here. It was the old Heckle house. Another Finnish family lived right there.
It's directly across the road,
yeah,
from the boarding
right
house.
There. And we could have bought that house for, what was it, $1,000? $1,100 or something like that?
$1,500 or something.
And all the furniture was in it. They had a well that supplied all the water to all these houses over here, so that brought in about $25 a month or something like that. And they had a 49 Mercury suicide door that was spit polished, all for $1,500. You know? And everybody says, you're nuts, don't buy it because you don't own the land under it.
Huh.
And it's still a beautiful house, but they had, I can remember, all the old clocks and the linens. It had a finished bath in the basement.
Wow.
You know? And any other house, maybe $800-$900 for the house.
Huh.
In 66, 7.
So do you think it was that sort of slight insecurity about not owning the land?
It was.
Just
well,
to make people not invest in their houses as
well? Well, the thing is, too, you couldn't get a loan on it from the bank. I mean, you just couldn't.
Okay.
They lend a lot easier these days, but a dollar was a dollar back in them days.
Mm-hmm. So when it was really well kept up, were most of the people who lived there working for the mill?
Most all of them. Most all of them.
So did the mill do things for the people living in those houses?
No, nothing. But the other good thing was, I think the lot rent was $15 a year. And, you know...
When we bought the land, it was up to $70 a year.
And now we're...
They'd raise the rent up to $70, you know, for a whole year.
Well, you can't even take a trailer house and put it on a lot for less than $200 a month. So it was really to your advantage not to own the ground. I mean, if that's the way...
Because you're not paying taxes.
You're not paying taxes on it. You're paying one little payment.
$70 a year, you know.
And were they mostly long-term leases?
Yeah, at that time...
You mentioned a well over here. Was that, did that come from the Blackfoot?
It was right next to the river, the well was.
Yeah. So it wasn't, it didn't have the contamination that the other...
Well, no. Is what happened there. I'll tell you what happened. In the mill yard over here, it had to be Champion that had all their logs there, and they were watering them down with some kind of a preservative, and that got into the groundwater. So there's another well over there that supplies this part of Milltown with water, and they put it in for the people.
Champion put it in.
Yeah, Champion put it in.
Okay.
Is that well house gone now?
It's gone.
Yeah, there used to be a little
thing house next to the road there.
Tall thing.
So your water came from your house?
We have our own well at our house.
And you always had your own well?
We always had our own well. No. Can't say that. We packed water when I was a little kid in the buckets. And then in 1950, I can remember, they dug by hand. The guys got together. And it's a long ways. They dug it by hand 6 foot deep, and we got cold water in the house. And then a couple years later, we got a jacket next to the old wood stove. And then we had hot water in the wintertime when the stove was on. Otherwise, my mother would have to, you know, get the stove going and you had one of those things next to your thing, and then it would heat it. And then in 55, we got a bathroom. Everybody had outsiders before 55. And then I think it was a little bit later, natural gas came in.
Hmm.
So we got natural gas, you know, and my mother burned wood till real late. She just loved your old wood stove, you know.
She but did all the cooking on the old wood stove?
A lot of it. And in the summer, they had it just a little two-burner electric stove that she would, but she always cooked on the wood stove, you know.
And then you would go up to the mill to take baths.
Oh, yeah, we'd
showers.
Go up to the mill. The men would.
Yeah.
We'd go up to the shower room at the mill, my dad. And my dad really didn't want us boys going with him because he always liked to go take a bath and then stop at the Midway bar on the way home. Yeah. That was a kind of a...
So as kids, you were allowed to go join
oh, yeah,
him?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
And, they,
and the women would just wash at home and
right,
wash
in a tub.
Or something.
In a wash tub, yeah.
So did you work at the mill then?
I did well, one or? Year. When I was in high school, I lied my age, and I was 17, and I lied my age to the personnel guy up there, and, oh, well, your dad's worked here, you go to work, you know, so I was working, and I was going to high school my senior year, and I was struggling, because I worked till 2 o'clock in the morning, I had to get up. Well, this friend of mine, I was born June 16th, he was born in May, and they hadn't hired him, and he went and told on me that I'd lied my age, so... Riley was the guy's name. He called me in and he says, Mike, I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to lay you off for 2 weeks, you know, which he did. Well, I gained nothing really because then I got laid off for the 2 weeks or 3 weeks I lied about. And Raymond went to work. And I, it was summertime, and I had a couple of weeks of summer anyway before I went back to work.
So what did you do at the mill?
Oh, I worked on the green chain mostly. And then I worked down on the ponds where you, that was a fun job, where you slipped the logs into the slip and they went up into the mill to be sawed.
Oh.
You know, and I remember it was cold one night and I was down there and something got jammed up. And I, you know, I'd never worked down there much and I went charging out there. Well, the bark had built up on the water, you know, and it looked just like dry ground going kind of, boy, I went charging out there and I went.
Oh,
my head,
gosh.
And I damn near froze to death. It was early in the spring. You know?
That sounds dangerous.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah. What a shock.
So that you had 1 year and then that was enough for you? What
well,
you
then I went to Alaska for about 3 months and damn near starved to death. So we came back and a friend of mine who lived in Pine Grove was McDonald Logging. And I think when I left the mill, I was making $1.63 or something. I had a job to go logging for $3 an hour. So then I went logging for a while. And then I went to work for Montana... No, then I went to work for the post office. And then I went to work for Montana Power. Then I went to work for the state of Montana. And I went 32 years with the highway department.
Oh, okay.
Okay. What kind of memories do you have of the dam and the...
And... Oh, I have a lot of memories of the dam down there.
Going down
us kids there. Fished down there just all the time. You know, got in trouble. We go out there on the spillway, you know, and the German brown fish, they try to spawn about in August, you know. And, of course, there's no water coming over the spillway, and or maybe just a little bit. They'd try to jump up there, and we'd spear them. And the game warden didn't like that
either. Would you have, like, homemade spears?
Oh, yeah.
What was the best wood for a fish spear?
Yeah. Then we'd whitefish down there in the wintertime, you know. Oh, there was a lot of memories down there. And then they had a swinging bridge above the spillway. And we'd get out there and drive those two guys at the dam nuts because they knew who we were. But we could run over at the mountain and get off. Or they were always, and you know, they'd send the law after us every once in a while down there playing around that dam. I'll miss the dam. I was really against them taking it out, you know.
Didn't your brother go over the...
Oh, yeah, they'd get in rubber boats and go over that dam in high water.
Spillway? Would they go through the spillway there?
Just yeah, over the spillway.
And down underneath.
Down they go, and they bob back up down there.
And when we talked to Emmett Smith, he was saying that he used to let kids fish out the windows sometimes.
They did.
Did you ever do that?
I never did, got to.
Okay.
I was always in trouble down there. So.
Right, so you weren't one of the ones who got special
favors.
No,
I wasn't. I didn't get to do the fun things. You know?
Did people go out? Did you go out in boats in the summertime on the pond? Or did you call it the pond or the reservoir?
The reservoir? Oh, yeah, yeah. We were always on that river doing something on it when we were kids, you know. A lot of kids didn't drown out there. We'd ice skate all winter long and build fires, and we'd go up to the Meltdown dump, which was right up here. And I don't know if you've been watching what they've been doing, but they had to take that dump out,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it was all piled there. We'd these channels went up to the dump, and we get our sleds and put these tires on them, you know, bring them down to the point, which was right here. And we light them.
Huh? McCormick.
Yeah.
Point.
Yeah, down there.
Yeah.
And we light those tires on fire, and I don't know if you've ever seen black smoke.
Yes.
Come home, and all you'd see is your teeth. Our clothes would be, you know, really, really bad from that smoke. Then we smoke these, you know, I don't know what they call it, driftwood or something like that. You get about one puff out of them before they about burned your throat up. You know? Did you ever do that when you were kids? My mother taught me how to do that, believe that or not. She said, we used to smoke these when we were kids.
It's great.
So did you speak English at home, or did you?
My grandmother lived with us till she died in 1951, and she couldn't hardly talk English. Everything was sweet, and I could understand her. I still remember some of it, but... and my folks talked when they wanted us not to know something. They talked Swedish and Norwegian until we left home, you know. But it got, in later years, it got to, you could understand everything was more English than it was Scandinavian, you know.
So they were, one was speaking Swedish and the other was speaking...
Well, they're so close to the same thing that they understood each other.
Did most people in Milltown speak their native... You know,
a lot of them did, when I was a kid, like the Boilers, they were French. He couldn't talk English. And the Cadgers were French, and they talked French. But most of the time, and the Finns were very hard to understand. That's such a complicated, you know, it's almost like, I don't know how to explain it, but most of the Scandinavians did learn to speak more English, you know.
So were there any community organizations you were involved in as a kid, or like family go to church?
Luther League, and the Lutheran Church was up here by the school. I belonged to that, and we had a real big Boy Scout thing out here, from Cub Scouts all the way through. I mean, you know, I belong to the Lions Club out there right now, and we sponsored the Boy Scouts. And there were two kids in the Boy Scout. Our troop had 120. You know, and
now they have two?
Now they have two. Nobody wants to do it, you know. The kids don't want to have Boy Scouts anymore. That's honest God's truth.
Was that a Boy Scout troop that was Milltown, Bonner, both?
Yeah, Pine Grove, the whole Bonner area. Mm-hmm. And there was a teacher from up here, his name was Larry Burlingame, maybe you've heard of him. Mm-hmm. He taught at Bonner for, I don't know, probably 30-some years. But, I mean, he got us all going. And then all the parents got involved in it. And they'd be, you know, we'd camp all over. And they'd take trips around Flathead Lake or down the Missouri River on, you know. It was a big thing when I was a kid, was Boy Scouts.
Huh.
You know.
Did you have a car?
No. No, I didn't. Not until I almost got out of high school.
Your family didn't?
They had one car.
So on these trips, you got there by...
Oh, there'd always be some parents, like the Deshaws down here, that owned the ranch where we're living now. This was the old Deshaw ranch. They were big at helping people, our kids get around. And the Karras Nursery, old Jim Karras, he had a big van that he'd take all our stuff out for us and set up tents and...
Even though Jim didn't go to school out here,
he was still in their
Boy Scout group for some reason.
And we'd have dances.
So Jim Karras was?
Oh. Jim, yeah.
We'd have Boy Scout dances, and it was, you know, we had a real nice thing going out here.
Hmm.
And then the old Finn Hall, you've heard of that, haven't you? Well, they'd have dances down there. We'd go down there, go to them when I was a little kid. What else went on up here?
Did the whole family go to these dances?
Oh, yeah, the Finn Hall especially. Yeah. The Boy Scout ones is just us kids, you know.
And then the sports?
Well, there wasn't really too much for sports. We did have basketball at grade school and a little bit of softball in the spring, but, you know, if you wanted to play, you went to town. And we used to hitchhike in high school. I played football for 4 years. You hitchhiked in and out and made your own way.
Would you know the people who picked you up half the time?
Most of the time not, you know. But you always got a ride right away. There's always somebody.
Great. So we were talking about the Boy Scouts. Do you think that one of the differences now is it's just an older population? Are there fewer families? Or is it just...
I think there's just many kids. But kids, I mean, they just don't do that anymore.
I think...
It's based on other activities, like they're soccer players, there's so many activities that they all get spread out, and there's no one thing out in this area.
Hmm.
Plus, I think at that time, I don't think a lot of the mothers worked.
None of the mothers,
you know, were. Where nowadays, both of you are working and your kids are going here and there. I mean, it's just a change in the times, not only out there, but I think it's all over.
Yeah.
You know.
Were there any sort of differences that, between you, your group, and the people that lived in Milltown and Bonner?
Oh,
and
of course.
Like, how would you sort of capture some of that?
I can remember the two, the two churches, the Catholics and the Lutherans, their churches right next to each other.
Right.
Well, you'd play with the Catholic kids all year long, and then when you went to vacation Bible school, you were not allowed to play together because they were the Catholics and you were the Lutherans.
But you were at the same Bible school?
No.
The two churches are right next door to each
other.
Oh,
okay.
And they'd have
at the same time. So.
At the same time. They'd have their, you know, church summer group, and we'd have ours. But, and we had a volleyball net right in the middle. And the minister said, no, you're not supposed to be playing with those Catholic kids.
Really, the adults enforced it.
Well, I don't know, it must have come from somewhere.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I think it's because, you know, when the Lutheran church broke away from the Catholic church, you know, hundreds of years ago.
Right, there's some memory about that.
My old Grandma Nelson, a lot of her offspring married Catholics, you know. And I can still remember she had an old Norwegian brogan. They're really nice people, even if they are. You know, she just spit that Catholic out.
Well, you mentioned the Lutheran League. Can you explain what that was?
Oh, it was just a youth for, you know, in the church where you got together and you'd, you know, you'd sing and, you know, just a youth group within the church, you know. And lots of the kids belonged to that at different times, you know. Kind of just a get-together.
Was there also a difference between people who lived in Milltown and Bonner? Mm-hmm. Did people look at each other differently?
Because most all the bosses lived up in Bonner, you know. And there was always a little friction, you know, between the Bonner kids and the rest of the community, like Pillsville, Findown, or West Riverside, or Pine Grove, or, you know, and they used to call, I know you've heard that expression, Silk Stock and Row,
right,
up in Bonner from there down. And, you know, those women who get their white gloves on and go to the grocery store, you know, and, I mean, they thought they were pretty important up in that area.
Even into the 50s.
Like, oh, yeah.
I mean, when did it stop being mostly the manager's housing then in Bonner?
Well, I think mostly just about when Champion took over.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then they just, that policy kind of just fell by the wayside.
Yeah. Well, by that time, people had big cars, and they, you know, the bosses lived in Missoula
they
and worked
bigger houses,
and I think, you know, they were lucky to fill the houses in Bonner. The rent was cheap, and then it became, you know, nobody cared one way or the other. But there was a time in that Bonner where you were a little ahead of everybody else if you lived there, and, you know, even moving from Milltown, if you got a boss's job, then they would move to Bonner, and then they were just a little uppity from there.
I see. Everyone would say, oh, yeah, they're moving to Bonner.
Don't you think that when Anaconda Company sold out to Champion, that was another life-changing event?
Oh, it was. Real life-changing.
Because Anaconda Company had been there forever, you know. And,
well, it's what happened when Champion bought it. They imported so many people from Oregon into the mill system, you know, that then it wasn't the same old four nationalities out there. Then the biggest change was you didn't know everybody that, you know. You were guaranteed, if your dad worked at that mill when Anaconda had it, I mean, you were guaranteed a job if you wanted to go there, you know.
So the community of Milltown changed, the ethnic diversity changed after, so people moved out and got other
and it got to be where none of the kids from the Bonner school, most of them, some of them did, but they didn't go to work at the mill. They went off and did something else, you know, and, you know, then when you were living in Bonner, if you retired in the town of Bonner, you were not allowed to live in Bonner.
They made you move out?
Mm-hmm. Well, they made you move out.
You had to be working at the mill to live in a
house
in Bonner.
So where'd they go? They just would rent houses somewhere.
They'd buy other houses around them. You know, if they saved up enough, they'd buy another house in Pillsville or, you know, or go to town or, you know.
So that's part of the reason why there isn't anybody still living in Bonner.
Exactly.
Who has that deep history.
Right.
The area.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Do you know anybody who's living in Milltown still who you remember being there when you were a kid?
Yeah, and I'm sure you're aware of Dufresne, Theola, and
Leo.
Leo. And they're in their 80s right now, Leo and Theola Dufresne. And
I
they
think
live.
Their parents must have been interviewed in the 80s.
Yes.
They were. It's that red roofed house right there on that street over there.
Is it red or is it this one?
No, it's that one, the gray one right
the
there.
The gray roof.
He worked in the mill?
He did it one time, but he ended up being the janitor of Bonner Grade School.
Oh, okay.
And is that about it when you think back?
Or well, there's some of them that are living in Missoula, like Ellen Doucette. She's probably 90. How old is Ellen? She lived in this first house.
96, I think.
96. She lived in that house there.
But as far as folks who are still living in
yeah,
there,
they're not,
the Dufresne's about
no, it. I don't think there's anybody left. I'm just trying to, let me just go real quick through everybody.
Mike's looking at the picture.
There's no Levesque left. You know, I don't think there is anybody here from right. the '50s.
The one of the guys, the kids that lived in this house, lives up in just right up at Hiltzville, mm-hmm. at on Hellgate Drive. Jimmy Willis. I don't know if you know.
Yeah, he's yes. one of the people that Judy's talked to us about.
Yeah, and he lived.
He was
in the house
neighbor.
Of a, huh?
In your next door neighbor?
Yeah, and we own the house he lived in now.
Oh, okay.
Well, there's offspring living around.
Sure.
But I don't think there's anybody in Meltdown right now that lived there as a kid. Like Jerry Buckhouse, he lives across from
Jim Willis.
And is that partly because folks are like you, they wanted to have families, they ended up moving out, and then...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have the opportunities changed a lot for women in?
Since, oh yeah.
And what kind of academic?
Well, when I was a kid, all the mothers stayed home. You know, they had gardens up in Bonner that you know you raised big gardens. They stayed home and canned, and you got your fruit in the fall, and they canned the fruit.
And the gardens were on the mill site.
Yeah, on the mill site.
Oh, so that was actually people in Milltown would go up and
oh, yeah.
there as well as Bonner people.
Right.
Oh, I didn't realize that was
yeah.
sort of community.
Yeah, they, if you wanted a little plot to have a garden, and they furnished the water and all that sort of thing. But I only remember about two mothers when I was a kid ever working, you know, and they always had a little bit more because they both worked,
uh-huh.
you know.
When you're cooking on a wood cook stove,
yeah.
it's not a lot of
yeah.
extra time for
yeah.
you.
To and I don't think I don't think the opportunity for women were there, was there at that time. You know? I mean, unless you went somewhere and cooked somewhere, or you went to a cafe or something, but, you know, very few of them. Peggy Ranta went to work for the Forest Service. And I was about the only other one, and Mike Copa, another Finnish family. She ran the beanery at the Northern Pacific Railroad.
Copa?
Copa, yeah. K-O-P-P-A. I don't know how you spell it.
K-O-L-P-P-A.
Yeah.
I know Louise, who lives here in...
That's a cousin.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So some of the other things that have been happening recently, do you know anybody who's been affected by the layoffs that are happening now at the mill? Or?
Well, you know, there's kind of where you lose me, because I don't know hardly anybody that stayed there and worked.
Yeah.
They've either retired or, you know, when they get cut down to, when I think when Champion was at full force, there was 800 and some employees up there. And what is it, down to 120 now or something like that?
Yeah.
And most of the people that, if they were still working there, they were younger than you anyway.
Yeah, right.
You know.
Well, some of those kids got laid off. Like Mike, he'd been there 32 years and got laid off.
Maples?
Mike Maples, you know.
Oh.
So that had to affect that. And you know, when you're right at that wrong age at that time, you know, if you have 32 years in at the mill, you're in your 50s,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's kind of hard to go out and get a...
Right, retraining doesn't
yeah, matter. Retrain.
Yeah, one of the things that we, I can't remember who we were talking to, but, oh, it was a teacher at Bonner who was saying there's actually only one family that he knows of with kids at Bonner School that were affected by the recent layoffs.
Oh, really?
But those other, the kids are coming from
oh,
all over.
Yeah,
their parents
over.
Don't work there anymore, and there's, you know, people who work
right.
there live in Missoula, so it just doesn't have that
right.
way that's tied in really into the community anymore.
Yeah.
So it seemed to him like it wasn't really shaking
right.
things up that much in it
yeah.
for people, although that would have been really different
right.
when you work it. If that kind of layoff had happened,
well,
turn the place upside down.
Right. But kind of, you know, back where when I guess what I'm trying to point out, some of them have four generations that went to that Bonner School. Like my folks went, I went, and our kids both went there. Mm-hmm. You know, and now my kid's living here. He's thinking about getting married, so there might be a fourth generation kid going there now. You know.
That would be pretty. And your son's kind of counting on staying. He likes.
Oh yeah, yeah. He's dependent on his mother like I was dependent on my mother. When I left home, my
She's
mother...
She's not going to kick him out of the house.
When I left, my mother was still buttering my bread. No, they were just those, you know, kind of people, you know. Like, kids could do no wrong, and I did a lot of wrong, I think.
Yeah. So where did you two meet then? What was...
At Snow Bowl.
Yeah, skiing.
We were skiing and ran into each other.
What do you see as the impact on Milltown and Bonner of the cleanup? What's going to happen? How's that going to change the...
You mean the town of Milltown cleanup,
yeah.
or the cleanup of the dam thing?
The cleanup of the dam and the river, how's that going to affect...
Well, I was just talking to Jim Willis just before you guys drove up, and he was just at a meeting. And I mean, it's the same old thing. You know, down where the dam sits now, you know that road that you get to the dam on? Well, they're having a lot of problems there because they don't, you know, that place that the Northern Energy owns, where the dam is, they were wanting to put some kind of a thing there. Well, now these people down here and on the road, what do they call that?
Well, it's tamarack, and then it turns into something else.
Juniper.
Yeah,
they're bitching because they don't want the traffic going down there, so they're trying to get them to close the road. You know, I don't, you know, it just seems like one thing leads to another. Then they're fighting over the old black bridge in Milltown. You know, they want to tear it out. And now they're trying to figure out what to name it. You know, and they were going to name it after somebody famous in Milltown. Well, there's nobody that famous. So I guess they settled on, they're going to call it the Blackfoot River Bridge.
That makes sense.
That sounds sensible. Yeah,
right. I mean, so nobody's heard. I mean, if you name it after somebody, then you're going to have a fight with somebody else.
So do you remember, was your family still living in Milltown in the early 80s when it came out about the contamination and all that? Do you remember sort of how...
Well, I do, because the university took it upon themselves to come and check our well about once a month.
Oh.
You know.
That wasn't optional?
I think it was an option.
Okay.
You know. And ours wasn't affected. Everything, I don't know why it would be that way, but across the what I call the tracks, the railroad, this was supposedly all affected, you know. And supposedly our water came off Bonner Mountain behind the school. There was something that came down, and they checked it and checked it. But we did receive a new well here, what was it, last year or the year before? When they started drawing the river down, our well went dry.
Oh, okay.
And they did put in a new well for us. The water's a lot harder because it's deeper.
Were people surprised when they found out about the arsenic in the wells? Or was
I don't think people were really educated that well. Hell, we've drank it for all these years, and some of the people are 90 and 100, and we haven't gotten sick.
Yeah.
They made a bigger to-do over it than, you know, than it really, I don't know, you know.
And then, I mean, it's a long time from 1982 to 2007.
Right.
So did you see sort of attitudes about the... the cleanup and the contamination change over that time, or?
Well, no, not really. I mean, I hate to see, I mean, it all disrupted like it was, because you guys have seen behind the dam how pretty the, you know, the islands and the water and the trees and all. I mean, sure, there was poison underneath it, but, you know, I just, and it was pretty behind the dam. I just, the river, people boated out there. Now there's be no boating.
I loved kayaking.
Yeah, well, you probably, you know, you'll do all right with that, but I mean, and you could have still kayaked, you know, with the deeper water.
But that flat water kayaking where you can nose in and all those little channels and stuff like that,
right.
That's different.
Yeah.
It's real peaceful to do that. It's not like, you know...
Right. Okay, I agree with you there. You know, we duck hunted there, we fished, we, you know, I just hated to see...
Do the swans still come there?
Oh, yeah, we used to, every year my mother would get all excited. The swans... from, I don't know where they came from, Alaska or somewhere. That was always her big day because the swans were in. It was really close to first day of spring, and everybody would go out and watch them, you know, and they were the big trumpeter swans, you know. And I'm sure they'll light somewhere on the river, but they used to like to go in that one area up by the duck bridge, and, you know. But things change.
Yeah, I mean, it's been, I guess it's been a while since... Were you involved when they were talking about whether or not to take the dam out and how to go about doing the cleanup?
I didn't get involved. You'd go to those meetings and at Bonner School, and they'd get up and start yelling and screaming at each other, and people wanted this, and people wanted that. And, you know, I knew they were going to do it. The money, I knew they were going to do what they were going to do, you know.
So what do you think the place will be like in 50 years, using your crystal ball?
Well, I think eventually, and it's happening all over, you'll see a sewer system come out that way. It's already right there. We own some land down here in the river, and it's right to that point right now. And I think you'll see a, you know, get a sewer system all the way out there. The only thing that kind of worries me is, and I don't know how much taxes are involved, but Bonner School at one time had two railroads going through it, the big ACM Bonner Mill that did everything for the grade school. You had the dam. We never even bought pencils or paper. Everything was, when we went to school, was all provided, you know. And I think they're going to have some tax problems out there. So, oh, and then a friend of mine is one that bought the 16 houses that they're going to move behind Bonner. Now, you've probably read about that. Yeah. So, I mean, I'm glad to see that.
Is he going to move all of them? That's fine.
The ones that will hold together. There's 16 of them. And the, you know where the ball field is there.
Yeah.
It sounds like they're going to go behind the town of Bonner in a 16-acre thing. And then he also bought the log yard, which is across from town pump down there.
So he's going to fix them up and...
Right. Yeah. I guess he'll own them, you know.
So...
And ran them.
How did that... Do you have any insight into how that unfolded, where everyone thought they were going to get demolished, and then there was this sort of behind-the-scenes thing going on?
I think there was some behind-the-scenes, you know. When you turn that off, I'll give you my view on
that. All right, that's fine. It's just, you know, there was a lot of sort of grieving and, like, hands in the air going on about losing those houses.
Right.
Yeah, so do you think that development and sort of new houses being built and those houses being fixed up, is that going to change how the area feels? Or?
Well, I think everybody kind of be for it.
Yeah.
You know, and I think you'll agree with me, when you go through the town, it's unique, where the trees are all up and there used to be all little sidewalks, and they did keep the houses a lot better years ago, but they've kind of let them go to waste. And then up at the end of Bonner, there were three extra houses. And they tore them out, what, a year ago? And then they piled all that dirt and bark, and it looks so ugly back in there, you know. I don't think they had to do it that way. At least put a big fence up so you don't have to look at it.
How long do you think Simpson will just hang on to the...
Do you think they'll survive?
Stuff?
I don't.
Yeah.
You know, I just don't think they will.
So then if they you see some other industry coming in, or do you see...
Oh, I think so. Something will come, and I think it'll be Danny Washington. I think he's already left. I really do.
All right, watch this space. If you're listening to this in 20 years, you can tell us whether we were, whether Mike was right or not. What would you like to see down at the confluence there, where the powerhouse is now? Was there anything that you think would go in there to sort of help remember that history? Or
I don't know. I think they could landscape it some way and make a park out of it that people can enjoy. I don't think we need a bunch of buildings down there or anything like that.
Mm.
I don't know. Have they settled on that thing up on top of the tunnel to look down?
Yeah, they got the land secured, and
they did.
There's going to be an overlook there.
An overlook, yeah.
Did you ever hear anything about Riverside Park growing up?
My mother used to. You mean down where?
Near the...
Dad or my mother remembers it well. They had a pavilion down there. And they had a park, and she can remember when the Indians used to come and camp there. They had carnivals. W.A. Clark, was it, that owned the mill? He put on some big things down there. She remembered dances down there. And what else?
Where was it?
Well, down there by Griles Trailer Court, but up.
By the dam?
By the dam.
Oh.
You know, kind of hard to see now because of the way the freeway went through there, but... and I can remember just the last part of it. My dad, the welder and type of guy he was, there used to be a big water tower down there, a huge one, and a big teepee burner. And he used a torch, and that was the last I remember of it, because they were tearing the buildings down in the early 50s, late 40s. And
the buildings on the old Clark Mill.
The old Clark Mill, yeah.
Or was that right down by the river there in that area?
Yeah.
The mud bog now.
Or... The mud bog. Well, it's right where Town Pump is.
Oh, okay. That
yeah. From there, and then all our yards are down further, and that pavilion was just beyond that.
Right. It's hard to picture that with the interstate going through, but right. It would have all been continuous.
It was all open all the way through there to the river.
So that pavilion was still there when you were...
I don't remember it. I just remember my mother telling me about it. Yeah.
Were there any other stories your mom and dad would tell you about being young in the area, sort of when you were growing up?
Oh, yeah, running the logs at Western Mill, and my dad fell. I don't know if it was my dad that fell in or his brother fell in. They pulled him out with a pike pole, you know. He was under the logs, you know.
So your dad worked at the Western Mill? Or
no, my grandfather did. Yeah. Yeah. I think I got a check stub here somewhere in the basement where he... got paid for the month, and it was, what, $32 for the month? You know?
No longer.
I wish we had a lot of those little pictures out here. We could, you know, but I don't, God, they're packed away somewhere, you know. A lot of those pictures, do you remember going when we had the old-timers days at Bonner School, and they'd set up like about, 1,500, 2,000 of these old pictures?
Yeah, we've seen some of those, because they just scanned them all.
So. Yeah. Oh, they did what?
They scanned them all and made them digital, good. So they're going to actually put them on the internet.
Right. People I'm glad they did. A lot of those pictures were of my folks. And,
oh, okay. So you donated them when they did the
right.
Centennial.
My mother did.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Yeah. There was a guy out here by the name of Jack Demons. Maybe you know Jack. Yes. Mm-hmm. He was big into that, and he interviewed my mother, and they'd get together and talk about old times, you know. And he actually spent a fortune on that. The Lions Club and Jack.
I'm actually wondering, this is the list, this isn't really in the plan, but this is the list of people that there are already oral histories. A lot of these were done in the 80s. I'm just kind of curious if you know, knew some of those
things. I know Rita Lavoie. I can tell you right where she lived.
Yeah, she lived in Milltown?
He lived right there when she was growing up. Gendro lived on the flat, but he lived right, let me think, where's our old house? He lived right here.
This is across the tracks from Mike's old house.
Pat Thibodeau actually, it wasn't, his wife still lives out here. She lives right down here by Brigham's. LaForge and McClellan, Genevieve just died. She was raised up here in Pillsville.
So these people were all on your paper route, huh?
Some of them. Hazel Karkinen was my dad's teacher.
All right.
You know, that'd be way, way back. She was my teacher, Mildred Dufresne. Leite, old Buck Leite, yeah. He lived right down here in Pine Grove forever. Ernie Corrick, he was a great guy. George Neff lived down here. And then Jack Demons, of course, he was the one that we were just talking about.
Yeah.
Oney Hama, knew that was from the Hama boarding house.
Well, Mildred's on there twice.
There. George Bataille knew her. She was a cook at school. And Hazel again. Bouchard, a Bonner. I don't, that must have been. I knew her.
That's Mrs. Bouchard.
Yeah, yeah, and then Nimix, they live in Pillsville still. Or he does. She just died.
I think that's it. Yeah.
That's it.
Well, it'll be interesting to see.
I knew every one of them then.
If in 20 years there's still people who live in the area. I mean, I guess if your son's still there, then he'll have some deep history there.
Well, that Burton Nimix is still alive. But he's kind of a different old guy.
Well, I think that's about...
Yeah. Do you have anything else that you'd like to...
I was trying to think. Judy and Brigham and Kim and I went all the way around Milltown, and I pointed out who lived in every house one night.
What, did they record that?
I think she had a recorder on. I'd tell her to... You better turn this one off because somebody was living with somebody at that time that shouldn't have been living with.
Oh, dear. Well, great. Well, thank you very much.